This is Nathaniel, and I've got Nick Davis and Joe Reed in the house.
Hello.
Katie's marrying somebody else again.
Again.
Does her
I thought it
house
was Joe, but this suggests
otherwise?
something else.
So we called that off at the last minute.
Oh.
Is her husband aware of how often she's married?
The biopic is going to be amazing.
Yes, it's true.
Yeah, every weekend when we go to do this, oh, I'm at a wedding. We all saw Ant-Man.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm crazy interested to hear what this unique reaction Nick had to this
I
compared
am
to
too.
any other Marvel movies.
Well, it's my ingeniously clever meta pop art that, like, I didn't have. It was like the same as all the other ones, but the hype is all that matters, right? Come see it. Come see it. Something's gonna happen. I have something to say. No, I don't. Not really. Whatever. Anyway, next one.
I do have I do I know this is a backwards way to approach it, but I do have to say I was laughing so hard in the tat the like little secret tags at the end of the movie. You know, they
Yeah.
always have those two scenes because I haven't read anything about the movie because I like to go into movies as fresh as possible, which is very hard for superhero movies.
Yeah.
But there have been so many articles, the end credits explained. I'm
I
like, they're
know.
both so, like, they just, like, it's like the most straightforward scenes
Yeah.
you can possibly imagine. Like, what are those articles about?
I
Like,
feel like
anything
those are
that
just
could.
like tried true templates that are ready to get, published at a moment's
There's
notice.
nothing secretive about them. They're just like, okay, and this is what will happen next.
Yep.
Well, if you haven't seen the all the Marvels, or maybe even just like the most recent Avengers or something, like the second one is a little bit opaque with Sebastian Stan, but it's not about like it's hard to understand. It's just like I didn't see that fucking movie. I don't know what you're
Right,
talking
okay.
about. Well, and from what I understand from that scene, that is an actual like that's going to be a scene in the upcoming Captain America movie and the Captain America Civil War movie, and it'll be somewhat in the middle of the movie. So I guess there is a bit of intrigue as to how the Winter Soldier ends up with his arm in a vise. But like, it's I feel like we could all walk those steps together and
Yeah.
not get lost along the path.
And then the other thing bears explanation insofar as this person has been a wet blanket every time she's been a like, oh, stop hitting me with that wet blanket. And now you're like, she's gonna get her own movie. Like, Jesus Christ, we'll explain that shit.
Oh, Evangelina. Or
Yes.
I don't know how to say her name.
What?
Yeah, I think she's, quite uninteresting as, actresses go.
I think
And it's
she's
too
super.
bad because I feel like that character has potential, but I don't like her as an actress. I feel bad sort of saying that, but like that such odd and uninteresting casting in that regard.
An interesting casting, but also taking the character who has spent this whole movie being like, but I don't want the plot of this movie to happen. Can we not have the plot
Right.
of this movie? And also, I don't want the star to even be in it. Like, those are her jobs. And then they're like, well, maybe you can have one. No, I don't. Is she gonna whine for her own feature? And wear that wig? Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big been a big summer for that wig.
Hey, everybody gets their moment in the sun.
Yeah. I don't know. I felt like I thought I was a little bit more maybe on board with that character in terms of I feel like the movie took up like was a little bit more on her side about that, about how she's kind of right about how she's the more qualified one, and it felt a little bit like the movie was acknowledging the handcuffs it had placed itself in, whereas well, we're called Ant-Man. We got this
See,
man. He's going to be an Ant-Man. Like,
I had a different reaction to it.
what was
I
that?
felt it was like extremely cheap. It was in that they know that they're under all this like media like tisking about their treatment of women in those movies. And this is their this is as far as they can extend it, is to go, yeah, you're right about us. Anyway, here's another one, just like all the others. It just seemed like they were trying to get you to see, oh, they're trying, it's cute, but they really want to protect the women. They don't want them to get hurt. It was so weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think for as long as this movie's been in the pipeline, it's tough for me to see it as a direct reaction to the sort of post Age of Ultron blow up with Black Widow's character and everything like that.
Yeah.
But that's not like the first time that critique has
Right, surfaced. but it's really become like constant now, that okay. critique.
Yeah, I feel like before it was maybe not something that demanded response.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's sort of, they make it very easy for other people to read these things.
Yeah.
You know, into these movies. Which is not great, and which is sort of the, you know, for as much as I really do love how sort of intricately these things are planned out in terms of, like, the phases,
mm-hmm.
this is obviously the weak spot in that you can't respond on the fly, and you can't sort of course correct as you go, which, that's a double-edged sword in and of itself, like, responding to what the fans are demanding and what the what your critics are demanding. But a little bit more, you know, because even with this movie, like, they set up this whole thing where, like, oh, like, Wasp is going to be, like, a character, and she's going to have her own thing, and it's just like, well, the next 3 years are pretty much all scheduled out. She's going to have to wait till phase 4 or whatever, like.
Yeah, and I can't help but think that by the time they get around to all these women, people are going to be a little tired of the superhero movies.
Right.
Because no cycles last forever. None, yeah. You know. No.
Even the groundswell of fandom for Evangeline Lilly might have started. you never know.
Evangeline Lilly's casting reminds me of that thing that tends to happen with, like, ensemble casts, where every single person in it is famous, and you wonder why, like, the filmmakers didn't have any desire to, like, look elsewhere, or if they're, like, really lazy about their casting. Like, I'm trying to think of examples, but there's all these movie trailers right now that have all of the star names come up on the same card.
Oh, yeah.
Like, really, really fast, and there's, like, seven or... Oh, like, Black Mass does this.
Yeah.
Or that one about, Robin Wright's in Everest.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Robin Wright's
I was going to say, Robin Wright movie.
Yeah, but you're not even in the trailer, and you're constantly seeing, man, they've stacked this movie with people, and then that title card comes up, and it's like, oh, there's even people I don't think I just saw. Okay.
Yeah. Right, and so it's like that sort of thing where it's like, it's almost like paint by numbers. It's like, oh, get me whoever's available. You know, who...
I don't know. I think she took her BFCA nomination and just wrote it to the bank. She parlayed that thing. Like, we all knew it was a screen.
But my point is, I find it like, I start doubting, and I even do this with major directors that I like, I start doubting that they actually have visions for their movies if the only faces that are being cast are the ones that are in everybody else's movies. Because, like, they say casting is, like, a lot of the work. Like, directors say that all the time.
Yeah, but it's not always clear how much room they're actually being given to, like, introduce a new actress in a world like that.
It just strikes me as odd because a lot of those people are not bankable.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, mildly famous. Well, like, Joel Edgerton. Like, people aren't buying tickets to see the new Joel Edgerton, and he's in everything.
It goes back to the way that Marvel is building this out, where they're planting these smaller characters who will become bigger later. But, like, Evangeline Lilly, I guess, is fine if she's your, like, fourth or fifth lead.
Yeah, if she's, like Kobe Smulders.
But, like, you know? Right, but, like, I can't imagine a major summer tentpole built around an Evangeline Lilly movie. Who, by the way, like, made that big honking deal about retiring after Lost was over. And, like, since then has made, like, one movie every year, but it's been, like, this giant blockbuster in every theater movie. Like, happy retirement, I guess.
And were any of them sold on her name?
Oh, no, right, absolutely not. But, but that's the thing, it's just, like, if you're not going to care about that, if you're not going to care about, like, you know, being a major movie star and you just want to, like, be in a movie to be in a movie or whatever, I guess the paychecks are really nice, but, like, it's odd that, like, she's just choosing these as her, like, you know, whatever the fuck movies. It's weird.
Well, maybe we should talk about the outfits that we liked. For example, the use of the Cure's disintegration was hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, and that was... that kind of pulled me out of the movie a little bit because I was just like, oh, this is vestiges of Edgar Wright, just because it reminded me so much of that scene in Shaun of the Dead where they hit the jukebox and the Queen song plays.
Oh, I forgot, like, about that.
Beating the zombie in time with the pool cues. And I was sort of having a good time not having to be thrust in that sort of geek place where it's just like, oh, right, this was an Edgar Wright project and I have to honor that or whatever. But that seemed to me very specifically like...
But see, I agree, but those were the best parts of the movie. Like, and I didn't...
But other than that, I don't think I could very easily pick out, like, what would have been a Peyton Reed thing and what would have been an Edgar Wright thing.
Oh, I think those nested flashbacks scream Edgar Wright.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah.
The Michael Pena ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Because they're very Scott Pilgrim. They're, like, so rapid fire. And with, like, and, like, the comedy is meant to be, like, this silly, like... really quick, like, you'll have to watch this, like, three times to get every joke, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff was fun. I thought, in general, I had a very fun time with this movie, and I was sort of, you know, Marvel apologist as I am, I was kind of going in this being like, this will probably be the one I don't like, and that's fine. And I actually had a pretty good time with it. I thought it managed to balance... when you have Paul Rudd with you, like, it's, you want it to be funny, but I was also sort of prepared for it to be a little bit too much of a, like, Paul Rudd goofy guy movie, and I thought they balanced that pretty well.
See, I don't know, maybe I was in a bad mood when I saw it. I really did want to like it, because it was one of their projects on paper that I was most interested in.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was kind of a little bit dull. Maybe it's because, like, the action scenes I didn't think were even remotely exciting. And I kind of need that.
Pretty creative, actually, I thought.
They were funny. Yeah. They were funny, don't get me wrong. But I never felt, like, worried for anyone. I never felt, like, excited. I just giggled a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had an okay time at it, too, and if anybody wanted to see it, like, any impulse that would give you to want to see it, I would say, go. Like, you know, it's not disappointing, exactly, but I was a little... I couldn't figure out why it wasn't more fun, I guess, in the same way as you did. Was the action sequence part just the, like, weird invisibility of him and the, like, big, little, big, little, big, like, that... That was a kind of neat concept, but it sort of felt like watching Yoda with his lightsaber in a way. I think all the ants actually played a bigger role than I was expecting, and that was never that funny. Like, it fun either. Like, it just felt like some of the big kind of key scenes were dependent upon concepts that were kind of clever in
theory.
But in execution, a little tough to, like, relish, I guess.
Well, yeah, and also that took me out of the movie a little bit because I kept thinking, and this is, like, Marvel's own fault, not this movie's fault, but I kept thinking, I don't understand how the Avengers movies are going to make room for scenes with ants. Like, I understand with, like, a shrinking superhero, I understand that part, but so much of it was the ants...
Yeah, I would be surprised if we get the army of ants. And I feel like it's just going to be, like, there's one thing where they need somebody to get really small to, like, get a thing that they need, and they'll call an Ant-Man. That's just my guess. I am not, contrary to rumors, writing for part two.
Well, now they're going to be obligated to figure out how to get Michael Pena in there too, because we all love him.
Yeah, I did like the team aspects of this one.
Yeah, that was fun, and I thought with the action scenes, with the sort of, like Nick, you were saying, the little big to little thing, reminded me of what I liked so much about the action scenes at the climax of Thor the Dark World, where they're sort of falling through like those interdimensional portals, like one through the other, and it just felt a little like kind of go for broke, which is just sort of like we're taking the possibilities that this bizarre world setup that we have and sort of taking it to this fun little extreme, which I liked.
Mm-hmm. I was annoyed that they had that they ruined the best joke in the trailer, but I guess that's to be expected.
Wait, which was
with the train?
With the train.
Oh.
Because, like, I took a friend of mine who doesn't pay any attention to movies at all, so he hadn't seen anything about it, and he was laughing so hard at that moment, I thought, I probably would have too if I hadn't seen it a million times already.
Yeah.
Because it was really, like, if you hadn't seen the trailer, it would have been hilariously taken you off guard.
Yeah, my audience lost it, for sure.
Yeah.
And, like, it's so very much the best joke in the movie that I almost can't begrudge them having put it in the trailer. Like, it's hard to imagine how you would sell this.
Right.
Like, you can't sell it on a bunch of scenes of Michael Douglas and Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly being like, oh, what do we do, though? Oh, I'm a double agent. Like, you know, like yeah. That stuff was definitely, yeah, you know, attraction. But I totally agree with you. I think I thought there'd be more moments like that.
Yeah.
Just that I appreciate that it didn't just become like Honey, I Shrunk the Superhero, and it wasn't all about this bathtub is giant, you know, but it did feel like it could have more fun with his smallness, or that could be leading more often than just the plot, or just the, like, he's so small that now he's surrounded by these CGI ants. I'm like, I'm sure he is. I would rather watch him do weird shit, or, you know, play with scale in all these ways that seem kind of clever.
Well, what did we think of Michael Douglas?
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah, totally fine.
I thought it was interesting a little bit how I was expecting him maybe to be, like, secret villain, but maybe that's because I don't know enough about the comic book character and whether that would be unrealistic or whatever, but it always feels like, you know, mentor character with that kind of a casting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, see, I didn't expect that at all, but I, you know, I am a comic book geek from way back, and I was really into the Avengers when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I knew that, because, like, the original Hank Pym was the original Ant-Man, so he's a superhero, obviously.
So he's, yeah.
Not
so he's,
the villain.
Right, yeah. I feel like I've seen a lot of people complaining about Corey Stoll not being a very good villain. I thought he was sufficiently sort of... I liked how... I always like villains who seem to not know that they're villains, mm-hmm, which, not enough. Characters
see,
do.
I love Corey Stoll.
Oh, I do too.
In general, sure. Like,
yeah.
And there was, you know, that scene where he where he's like nervous about the meeting, and he asks Hope how he looks.
Yeah.
So, like, there was this woman right next to us who, she seemed to be into the movie, but when he said that she was like, "Oh, you look disgusting," and I was just like, do you have eyes? What is wrong with your eyes? It's Corey Stoll. But maybe that's just because I love him so much. Like, I think he's so sexy. Sorry, I just do. I don't know
no,
if
I
other
do
people
too,
share that.
There
and,
are people who decidedly don't get that, though. It's he's kind of a hot and cold guy on that regard.
So, but I, that said, however much I love him, like, his character made no sense from scene to scene to me. Like, I felt all the stuff that they were, that was implied was interesting, that he, like you're saying, that he didn't know he was a villain, but then some scenes he clearly knew he was a villain. His whole arc about, you know, him having all these resentment didn't really play until it needed to play.
See, I felt like that played stronger. I thought what didn't play as well was this whole, like, oh, you've been shrinking yourself without the helmet and your brain chemistry is degrading or whatever, and that sort of felt very tossed off and not really supported in any other way. But I thought the stuff with him feeling sort of like resentful son to Michael Douglas, that all tracked for me.
Mm, okay, how about you, Nick?
I've kind of wanted him to... I felt like he was a little bit inconsistent, but also that as conceived, but that the movie also wasn't investing a lot in his specificity or what that mm-hmm. villain was bringing to the movie exactly. Like, and you know, again, I haven't seen enough of these to speak from experience, but it sounds like there are recurring problems, Loki aside, mm-hmm. with how people feel about Marvel villains. I don't know. It didn't feel like the movies, even necessarily wanted a more compelling character there mm-hmm. in some sense. But yeah, I wasn't that taken with his performance, which was a surprise since I'm solidly in the camp.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like in general that I like that Marvel can still play these kind of minor chords, particularly after... And I feel like this was probably, you know, a big part of the intent, was you build up to this big, huge, what many people saw as unwieldy and overstuffed Age of Ultron movie, mm-hmm. and Ant-Man seems like such a change of pace and almost like a like a sorbet between courses kind of thing. It was just like, well, cool yourself off, like... This one's not going to really have these, you know, anything approaching the stakes of Age of Ultron, but it's sort of just, you know, it's lighter comic book entertainment, which I was happy with.
See, I love that in concept, but once it was playing out, because I kept being excited that it was so low stakes, and then I was suddenly not. I was like, but then what's the point? You know, it just felt so...
Wait, not what I wished for. Oh.
Yeah, it just felt so disposable to me. Maybe it's because I didn't really like all the like, daddy loves his daughter stuff, like, rub me the wrong way.
Oh, that I was fairly hooked on.
See, it rubbed me the wrong way because of Marvel's, you know, treatment of women in their movies. I was just like, so you like them, but only as someone you have to protect, not as people. You know, because the women never get to do anything. And then this one was so specifically about, we can't let you do anything.
I'm so not in that mindset, just because I feel like Black Widow is such one of the two or three most important characters in both of those Avengers movies.
Yeah, but don't you feel that's entirely Joss Whedon and nothing to do with Marvel?
Well, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to separate that, because Marvel's the one who got Joss Whedon to do their movies. Like, ultimately, the product is the product.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like...
I guess...
I'm a little bit off consensus on that, mm-hmm. I'll say.
Well, and obviously this is my actrosexual self speaking, but like, it was frustrating to me, like, in any other context outside of Marvel movies, the stuff about the mom, is that Janet Pym? I forget her name for a second. In any other, like, franchise type of thing, the setup for that character is all, oh, she would obviously be in a sequel. Because, like, she got lost in the subatomic realm, right?
Well, she's, and the Kate fact Blanchett, that they didn't show her face.
And they never, and they purposely never show her face, right?
Right.
So in any other context, I would be like, oh, they're going to wait and cast an older actress, and she's going to have this major part in a sequel. When she, like, mysteriously returns, or maybe she'll be a villain, or any type of weird thing. Because it's setting up too much of an open-ended thing, but with Marvel, it's like they won't even give, like, a hot young actress a leading role. Why would they cast someone, you know, Michael Douglas's age to have a major role, you know?
Can I make a bet with you? When they do end up, if they end up casting her for any movie, the subatomic miniature, whatever nature of where she's been lost
will preserve her age.
Will preserve her age. Absolutely. She's gonna be 28 when she gets out of
it. You'll get Clark, like, done.
Yes. Yeah. Honestly, I bet.
That's funny. Because apparently Michael Douglas has been interviewed about this.
Yeah.
And wants it to be Michelle Pfeiffer. And I was like, they are never going to cast an older actress in one of these movies.
No, Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't even get out of bed.
Right?
So with that, like, you know,
I'm not saying I wanted Michelle Pfeiffer. I just don't think it's going to happen at all.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just, like, he obviously is not reading the tea leaves.
Right.
That lady doesn't leave her house. Good luck.
Although I will say, if they end up doing a Wasp spinoff onto, like, a Netflix series, like a Daredevil, then I could see it happening.
Oh, an older actress?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
And it just feels like the sheer proliferation, even when the movie doesn't... I mean, this movie just didn't seem... As much as I thought it was fine, it was you know, like when they say Hillary Clinton's like likable enough, like it was fun enough, I guess. But like, would I call it fun? Like, did it seem incredibly invested in even being itself? Like, kind of no, because it always. I mean, when you have to distract yourself for a while to engage Anthony Mackie for a sequence, so that we can tie this back into something we all know it's tied into, or all the forward-lookingness, even within the movie, where it's like, okay, I'm hearing about this subatomic thing, so I understand we're going to have our inside-out moment of going into abstract thought. Or so. Like, it never occurred to me that it would be a second movie, because I was just so watching it set up its own finale in a way.
Right.
But it just felt like it mirrored the culture around it of it's always about what's come before and what it could be setting up for later.
Right.
And if the idea doesn't qualify for prime time, it could go to TV. It's like, well, maybe it just... doesn't have to go anywhere.
That's not what these movies are, though. I feel like this is where I always come with an impasse with people with these movies, and that these things aren't standalone movies. They're just not. And
I mean, they're TV shows with a big budget. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just wish that they would admit it, you know?
I feel like they kind of do admit it.
I just don't... It just feels like watching a Starbucks pop up across the street from your other Starbucks. Like, why do we have to have four? Like, it would be enough to go to one and get the coffee. I don't know. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I that was all I was going to say.
The only podcast that would compare Marvel to Starbucks.
Huh. I don't know. These days, I feel like you'd get a lot more.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't feel too proud of my originality there.
Okay, so...
Brings us to Southpaw.
Yeah.
Southpaw, yes.
Yeah, do I have to see Southpaw?
I liked
it. That's my question to you guys. Do I have to see Southpaw?
I really liked it.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I did not expect to. Because the trailer turned me off.
Yeah, that trailer did not do a thing for me. Both in terms of just, like, generalized ugliness, in terms of, like, big mouth full of blood.
Yeah.
And also, like, that absolute... Like, I think I got more angry at what happens to Rachel McAdams in the trailer to this mm-hmm. movie than I have about treatment of women in any superhero movie ever in history. Like, I was just like, are you... fucking kidding me.
But isn't that surprises me a little bit. I've heard you know, some of the readers said that, so that trailer's so toxic, but that women being sort of fodder, like literally like fodder, like
literally fodder,
right? Yeah. For men's development is so par for the course for movies. So like, it's weird that when people decide it's about one movie that they're pissed at about it.
Well, I just felt like in that particular, and again, judging solely by the trailer,
right,
felt like the most perfunctory, the most like by the numbers setup. Like, how are we going to get this guy to? How are we going to get stakes for this? You know, boxing quest. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we're going to give him a wife and a daughter, and we're going to give him an enemy, and there's going to be an altercation in a casino lobby. Like,
what you might not understand from the trailer, but I didn't anyway, was that. Is that the feeling that you're having already instantly and completely well-foundedly, because it is absolutely that she is just fodder to get it started, applies to every single character in that scene. Like, the people who gun her down are also only there to gun her down.
Right.
And there's a whole, like, the movie pretends for about 6 seconds that there's going to be some kind of mystery about who did or did not shoot her, and then it forgets every character that's a suspect. Who never shows back up, except for a guy who, you know, this will be a shocker to you, but turns out to be his antagonist in the ring at the end, who we always know was not actually the shooter. But we also never really know why he was picking the fight in the way that he was. Whatever. That scene is the worst scene in the movie, I think.
Yeah.
I always feel like setups like that never, for as sort of boxing heavy and sportsy as this movie seems to be, those kind of setups always betray this, like, complete lack of familiarity with sports. Because, like, sports are never like that. Like, you're never playing basketball against the guy who killed your father. Like, you're just playing basketball against the guy. Like, right.
But the stakes aren't high enough. It always has to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I, you know, all that said, I get why people are, because I had the same reservations myself, but I really thought it was far more of a character study than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And she actually had slightly more to do than I was expecting, because she doesn't die as quickly in the movie as I thought, given the trailer.
Right.
It's true.
And I just thought, like, where it went was more interesting always than what I was expecting, except for that whole setup is indeed that gross setup.
Yeah.
But I thought that the ideas the movie had about his, maybe this was Jake Gyllenhaal, but it seemed to me like the movie understood that something about his character that I really haven't seen portrayed that often, that he really was a lead character who could not make decisions for himself, which I thought was really interesting. And like, so like the loss of her was about more than, oh, my woman's dead.
Right. That's, you know, true.
It sort of, he lost his bearings because she was like his boss, essentially, in his life. Which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting too, although it also recommended that as you get interested in that stuff, I feel like it's harder to not be disappointed that she didn't get to stick around for more of the movie. You know, that like the dynamic between them about her managerness, which is so not controlling managerness, and the dynamic between, like, you know, the movie really stresses them both coming up through the sort of ward of the state system, but they seem to have come out of that with like an intense bond, but also a slightly different sense of what that was about or what that means, and that was kind of interesting to see. I mean, I left the movie feeling like it had been, in a lot of objective ways, kind of a bad movie, but I did feel like I actually did kind of enjoy it. Like, I still can't figure out how to answer the question of whether I would recommend that you see it, Joe, or recommend it to other people to see it. Like, the actors really do something with it, and even, like, Forrest Whitaker, who I usually have, like, a yellow flag is on the field as soon as he shows up, usually. But I thought he was really good.
I did,
and some
too,
of the scenes
yeah.
between them, too, are way less, are way more specific than just the obligatory sort of rock bottom boxer, coach, trainer stuff. Especially like their scenes in the bar.
Yeah, I love those bar scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, like, so it has, essentially what you're dealing with here is it has all of the stock stuff in it. Like, all of it. Every single scene you could think of is in it, but it seemed to me like it had more ideas about those stock scenes than most movies do. So it's not like you won't die if you miss it. I just think the acting was really strong and it had enough ideas. I was totally interested the whole time, even though it's not a great movie.
Yeah. I felt like I was kind of watching problem solving, which was sort of interesting to do. Like, the script is so setting itself up to fail in a lot of ways, like by being so stock and also so kind of patchy, even in how it connects pretty big dots. And the director, who must get some credit for how the performances look, like they're really seeing a lot in a script where that was not inevitable. Mm-hmm. Like, I suppose he deserves some credit for that. But then also he would have these crazy directorial ideas. Like, one new way to film a boxing scene people would enjoy is if the camera was right over one of the boxer's heads. Like, actually, that means I can't see anything except a glove that occasionally flies at my ass. Like, this is not helpful. Like, so, like, the direction kind of is showing you its own misbegottenness just when you start to want to give it some credit. But it was kind of fun watching actors be in something that seemed like it was always going to have a ceiling of how good it could be. I didn't think that, I mean, and even...
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it opens on my birthday, too.
Kind of resourceful. Mm-hmm. And maybe picking stuff up that could be useful in later performances. Like, I haven't seen Jake Gyllenhaal be this experimental with his voice before. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool to experience. Occasionally, he went full Greta from High Art, which was hard to know what he was saying. But
I think it's, like, I mean, I don't want to be, I don't want to, you know, play into any stereotypes about, like, boxers or whatever, but I liked how dumb he felt.
Yeah.
Like, because I don't usually get that from Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, he doesn't strike me as, like, a dumb actor.
Yeah.
But the character seemed to, at least the character did not think of his mind as any sort of resource. Like, he wasn't searching.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, just his, I loved the way he played his scenes with his daughter as sort of being in awe of his daughter.
Yeah.
Not just a protective father, but, or that him needing that to sort of moor him to family, since that kept being an issue.
Yeah.
But that he actually, I don't know, I just really, like, bought the relationships, I guess. Like, I really thought that he viewed that child as not just his daughter to protect, but somebody who was even better than him.
Yeah, who did kind of mystify him a little bit, too. Yeah.
Which I thought
was a great point.
Yeah, so I mean, I've been on this, like, Jake Gyllenhaal kick of he just keeps getting better and better, I think.
Yeah, he's certainly the hottest his career has been, I feel like, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a way in which this is almost, I don't know if it's just the marketing, because the movie doesn't feel as much like, look at him transform, as I thought it would be from the trailers.
Right,
Like, he's not screaming into the lens.
Except for once, yeah.
Except for once, and it's early, and you get it over with. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't feel like I was watching him assemble the performance quite as overtly as I felt like I was in Nightcrawler, where I just felt like, you don't have to show me all your work, this isn't geometry class. Like,
right.
I saw it a little bit, but it came out more as, oh, those are kind of interesting things to do. And I love that point about how I do think he agrees that Billy Hope is not smart and that his mind is, like, no resource to him, but he doesn't play down to that aspect of him. Like, it doesn't seem like he's being judgmental about that or, he just truly did seem baffled. So it became kind of moving to watch somebody who has to rely on other resources than that.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that he continues to diversify, and that, which is why I'm hoping, like, I like him, so I would like to see him have success with this movie, but maybe not too much success to the point where, like, he decides that this is the movie he needs to keep making. Just because I feel like there are so many other different sides of him that I like.
He doesn't seem like the type of actor that would fall for that, given his past career.
Sure, but I feel like success can be fairly intoxicating, and
well, that's true.
But even this movie kind of plays as getting the sense of, especially from his work in it, that, like, oh, this would be an interesting way to test myself, or an opportunity to try to have to do something totally different. But it didn't feel like a declaration of intent in a way. It didn't even feel like the director had said it. It wasn't quite as even as much of a kind of like Gyllenhaal showcase exactly as I had expected it was going to be. Like,
that's actually good. That's encouraging. I'm looking at this. I'm surprised. I'm not entirely surprised, but I've not seen an Antoine Fuqua movie since 2004's King Arthur. Like, I didn't see Shooter. I didn't see Brooklyn's Finest. I didn't see Olympus Has Fallen. I didn't see The Equalizer. There's just something about the projects he seems to be attracted to that I'm just like, pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made King Arthur?
What it says here.
I don't remember
that. The Keira Knightley...
I mean, I didn't. I never saw that. It just struck me as such a weird movie at the time.
You were fine not seeing it.
Who was I? I was with some friend recently who was like, I haven't seen an Antoine Fuqua movie since Arthur. And I was like, he made Arthur? And they were like, yeah. And I thought they meant the Greta Gerwig, like, art.
And like, plus the brand. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not get past my astonishment about it.
I do appreciate that the first person you named from the Arthur remake was Greta Gerwig.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, Greta Gerwig, like Jennifer Garner movie? Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I get to see Mistress America with her in attendance on Wednesday.
Ah, I'm excited for you.
That looks good.
It is. It's very funny.
Oh, you've seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
It previewed at BAM. I was very fortunate to have been able to see it.
I like her so much. So, oh, I had something I wanted to ask you guys. Oh, I saw this trailer for a movie I hadn't even heard of, which is super rare for me.
Yeah, me too.
It was like a Chris Pine movie about like a ship disaster, and it was like a period piece. I was like, what the hell is this?
I blogged about that trailer for Vanity Fair when I was covering for them.
Okay.
It looks very Perfect Storm-ish.
Yeah.
I actually was like, is my ass so old that they have remade The Perfect Storm? You've rebooted that already? Because...
Yeah.
And I still think they kind of have, but...
I mean, yeah, basically. Yeah. Except old-timier and with shakier accents, but yes.
I just hadn't even heard of it. Like, yeah. I hadn't heard the title.
Oh. Yeah. It's a Disney thing, I guess.
Okay.
And it's coming out after the Ron Howard big boat movie.
Oh. So both Chris's have ship disaster movies?
Yeah.
Which, that movie has been pushed back multiple times now, right?
Yes.
In the Heart of the Sea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, towards more sort of Oscar-y openings, which is interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nick's not convinced that.
I'm not.
Are you not in a Ron Howard place after seeing Apollo 13 so recently?
I will feel like anybody who could make that movie doesn't have anything else to prove, but I also do remember Rush and how unbelievably burned I felt, and those are the people that, nope.
That's it for this week. Next week is the SmackDown 1995.